Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Well, illuminated Bibles have been around for centuries. The St. John's Bible combines both modern art and medieval techniques to create a visual meditation of the scriptures. A copy of the St. John's Bible has been purchased by the Diocese of Hamilton and is housed in the Bishop Farrell Library and Archives at the Cathedral Basilica of Christ the King in Hamilton. On the phone with us tonight is to talk about the project is the Diocese Liturgy Director, Christina Ronzio. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to the Rolling English Road from the Nicole Ensing Band's Riddles and Creeds CD. And now to our conversation with Christina Ronzio. Good evening, Christina.
Good evening.
Now, let's start right at the beginning. When and how did the diocese hear about the St. John's Bible?
Well, Bishop Crosby says he heard about it a number of years ago, and the story of the St. John's Bible has been known widely in North America for about 17 years. But he made the decision in January of 2016 to purchase the St. John's Bible Heritage Edition for the diocese. And that had followed some work with St. Jerome's University in April of 2015 as they were exploring the program The Year with the St. John's Bible.
Right.
And as with anything in life, once you hear about something, you start seeing signs of it along the way. And so between June of 2015 and January of 2016, Bishop Crosby made the decision to purchase St. John's Bible.
Now, the Bible itself is split up into seven different volumes, and the diocese has four of those. Which of the four volumes does the diocese have right now?
Well, currently we have Gospels and Acts, Prophets, Letters and Revelation, and Wisdom. And then, because St. Jerome's University was inviting Father Michael Patella, the chair of the Committee for Illuminating the Text for the St. John's Bible to speak. We also were able to get the historical books volume earlier than we had planned, so we now have five.
Okay. So when do you expect to see the other two then?
Pentateuch we expect to have in November, and then Psalms either by the end of this year or early in 2018.
Now, just from what I've been reading and what we've talked about just recently about this, Psalms would be a rather large volume.
It's actually the smallest of all of them.
Really? Okay.
And that is because there are not as many illuminations of that text.
Okay. As the director of liturgy at the Hamilton Diocese, what is your role regarding the use of the Bible or how it's exhibited?
My role primarily is to arrange what we are calling the public reception events of the different volumes. So on September 15th, we received Gospels and Acts, and I prepared the liturgy around that, the music, the readings, the ministers. And then I also try to make some connections with what we are celebrating in the year of the church and how some of the illuminations might fit in different parish contexts.
Mm-hmm. When you first saw the first volume of the Bible when it came into the diocese, what was your reaction on seeing it and looking at some of the illustrations?
It is quite breathtaking. We had attended a workshop in Collegeville, Minnesota on the St. John's Bible to learn about its visions and values. And one of the things that they tell us is in the St. John's Bible, wherever you see gold, and it's 24-karat gold leaf, where you see that, it is to tell us that God is present. And the most striking illumination I saw that touched me very deeply was that from Matthew chapter 5 of the Beatitudes and the text, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are persecuted, is in gold. And I saw that and went, wow, the people who put this together put a lot of thought into it for where do we find God.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you give us a little bit of a history as to what illuminated Bibles are and why they were created?
Sure. So they began in the Middle Ages. Of course, before the printing press, a book would be handwritten. And because Bibles were used by monastic communities, the Bible needed to be large enough for the community to gather around. And because there was only one, or maybe in some cases two, for a community, they had to put elements in the Bible that would help the monastic community to remember Scripture. And so you would have illuminated letters at the beginning of chapters or beginning of Psalms to be a visual reminder for the monks and the religious women of what followed. And so that was really the beginning of illumination, to help make a connection between what the text was and what the community was praying.
Mm-hmm. And I think most people may have heard of one of the more popular ones, the Book of Kells, as one of the illuminated manuscripts that were out there. How has that tradition come down through the years as one, people have become more literate, and as you know, perhaps even the illuminations weren't needed as much as as a reminder to the communities?
Right. Well, certainly with the invention of the printing press, more books became available to people. I heard a figure, I think, before the printing press, there were something like 1,000 books in Europe, and within 10 years of the printing press, there were 10,000 books throughout Europe. And so that connection with the printing press of making books more available, it led to limited room because we're worried about the typeset. So the illumination sort of fell away as history went on. And then books became something to be owned by an individual rather than shared by a community.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation about the St. John's Bible with the Diocese of Hamilton Liturgy Director, Christina Ronzio. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Upright instead, and where the old road shone white, I walked a ways among the dead. Forest of tongues, like autumn leaves unshed, strange and light were the words they said. All these things to me are dust, because my name is Lazarus.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to The Convert from the Riddles and Creeds CD, which features songs inspired by the poetry of G.K. Chesterton by the Nicole Ensing Band. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Christina Ronzio, Liturgy Director with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. Well, now that we've looked at sort of the history of illustrated Bibles and that, what has led to this sort of a little bit of a revival, especially around the St. John's Bible in illustrated Bibles?
In 1981, Donald Jackson, who is a scribe for the House of Lords to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, he led a calligraphy workshop at St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota, and that began a long-term relationship he had with the monks there, and they crossed each other's paths for many years. And in 1995, he approached Father Eric Hollis, the director of the Hill Monastic Manuscript Library at St. John's, and said, "What are you doing to celebrate the millennium?" And Father Eric said, "Oh, we haven't really thought about it." And Donald Jackson said, "How about you commission me and a scribe of calligraphers to handwrite the Bible for you?" And so in 1995, the idea was placed with the community at St. John's, and after some discernment, they agreed that they would commission Donald Jackson to handwrite the Bible.
Well, what makes this one different from other illustrated Bibles then?
So they made a determination that they weren't going to just redo everything from the medieval period, but they would make it a Bible for the modern age. And so this Bible is in English. They used the New Revised Standard Version of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And they said, this needs to speak to our modern age. And so they developed a set of visions and values that included giving voice to the poor, to elevate the stories of women in the Bible who we don't hear about in the Sunday scriptures necessarily, and also to to revive the tradition of the handwritten word and to foster the arts. And so there are images in the St. John's Bible from the Hubble telescope. We have a picture of Earth from outer space, and mm-hmm. this is the first Bible where we ever see that.
Mm-hmm. And I understand, and that's part of one of the things I've been reading in some of the research on this, is that combination of some modern technological aspects combined with the medieval elements such as the handwritten word. What are some other examples where that combination of modern and ancient have come together in the St. John's Bible?
Well, certainly the pages of the Bible themselves. They used vellum, as the medieval scribes would have used, and so each page is hand-treated to prepare it to receive the ink. But one of the things that they did use was a computer program to set up where the words would be on the page and in the columns. So they say it took 2 years to decide what the first and last word on each page would be. And some people said, well, you're cheating, you're using technology. But the monks at St. John's said, well, 500 years ago, the Benedictine monks would have used whatever was at their service.
Mm-hmm.
And so they use the computer to help them figure out how to place the words on the page, but everything on the page was put there by hand.
Now, you mentioned that the original version was made of vellum. Let's remind our listeners about what vellum is.
So vellum is calf skin or animal skin that has been treated, and every page of the St. John's Bible, if you think about it, has four pieces to a page, and that means that one of the sides is the inside of the animal and the other is the outside. And so then you end up having some interesting issues with curling of pages. What wants to be inside remains mm-hmm. in that way.
Right. And of course that's what was used originally in the monasteries when they were creating the illustrated Bibles back in the Middle Ages.
Yes.
In terms of what the Bible is about, one of the articles I read described it as a visual meditation on the Scripture. How does that work in your mind?
Well, so you have an illumination of a Scripture passage on a page, and then you look over at the text, and you look back at the text. And the next thing you know, as Father Michael Patella says, you are interpreting Scripture. So you read the text, very familiar words, and you look at this illumination presented in a new way, and you are drawn into it, and in some instances, in a very, very compelling way, that it is more than just an artwork.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at an illustration from a newspaper article of creation, in which he takes the 7 days of creation and creates sort of a column for each of the different days, and I can only imagine what it actually looks like in the Bible itself. But I can see how someone looking at that and then reading the account of creation, how that word and visual element can help a person expand their understanding of what Scripture is.
It absolutely does. One of the things that St. John's developed was something called seeing the word, where you reflect on the word you hear, but then you turn your eyes to the illumination as you hear the reading again. And every time we do that, people say, I never thought about the Scripture in this way, but this illumination makes me think of. And it really makes a connection for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, the copy you talked about, the original copy of the St. John's Bible is done on vellum. The copies that the diocese has, are they made from vellum as well, or what is the difference between the copies that you have in the diocese and the copies that reside in the original copies?
So the diocese has purchased one set of a limited edition of what they're calling the Heritage Edition. It is made of uncoated cotton paper, so it's a much heavier paper than the original vellum. And when Donald Jackson was working with the printers of the Heritage Edition, he said, I want people to be able to have as close to an experience as the original as possible. And so on the original, where there's vellum, and you can see through because of the vellum, Donald Jackson said, we need to find a way to give people that very same experience that they're seeing through the page, even though we can't on the cotton.
Mm. In terms of just the practical aspect of this, how much would a copy, this limited edition set cost?
I'm not privy to that information, okay. But I think it is fairly substantial in that they were concerned to make sure that the Heritage Edition is something that can endure, that it is not to be a museum piece, but people are to be able to interact with it, to touch it, to turn the pages. And so to create something of a significant quality would have a decent price attached to that.
Right, okay. In terms of this, are they looking at creating a... are you aware of the whether or not they're looking at creating a version that individuals could purchase and have on hand, or is that even something that they're considering because of the you start to lose quality as you start going down into as you start decreasing size?
Right. So the Liturgical Press has created what they call the trade edition, or a coffee table size book of each of the 7 volumes. And so you don't have the shimmering gold of the 24 karat gold in the Heritage Edition. It prints more as yellow, but you still have the art of mm-hmm. the illumination and the calligraphy there to reflect on. And so for those who see the Heritage Edition or the original, they are often drawn to purchasing the individual size mm-hmm. to have it at home. And they recall what they have seen when they have looked at the Heritage Edition. They read it at home, and then inevitably they come back and say, I want to take a look at this illumination again to
right.
see how the gold plays with the light.
Right. Well, and we need to take one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with Diocese of Hamilton Liturgy Director Christina Ronzio and hear a conversation about the St. John's Bible. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Faith FM. You've been listening. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to A Child of the Snows from the Nicole Ensing Band CD, Riddles and Creeds. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Diocese of Hamilton Liturgy Director Christina Ronzio. One of the things that you kind of talked about is people seeing it, and there is an opportunity for local Catholic churches to book the Bible and that. Can you tell us a little bit about that particular program?
Yes. So parishes sometimes will want to have a volume of the Bible, perhaps for their parish feast day or for a retreat, and so they contact our library and archives and book a volume, and then a variety of programming options happen in parishes. St. Patrick's Parish in Burlington booked the Bible for a week. They had it on display at their Sunday Masses. Their pastor preached on one of the illuminations, which was the gospel reading for the Sunday. And then they took it into the schools for a number of days. And they had children from kindergarten through 12th grade interact with the Bible, learn about the tools that were used to create the original that's in Collegeville. Mm-hmm. And then the children had an opportunity to illuminate a letter in a scripture passage themselves. It also is taken to nursing homes and out in the community so people can interact with it.
And there's also it's also on display on a regular basis in Hamilton as well.
Yes, its home is at the Bishop Farrell Library and Archives, and we had a beautiful case built that will showcase one of the volumes every day, and people can come and take a look at the illumination, and we also have public viewing days where we take the Bible out of the case for a particular period of time, and people have the opportunity to turn the pages to look at their favorite scripture passage.
And where can people find out more about these programs and more about the Bible and how they can view it?
So we have a link on the Diocese of Hamilton website for the St. John's Bible. So if people were to go to www.hamiltondiocese.com and follow the links for the St. John's Bible in the Diocese of Hamilton, they can find out when the viewing hours are at the Bishop Farrell Library and mm-hmm. Archives, as well as when it's out for public programming in our parishes and schools.
Okay. Christina, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Christine Ronzio. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.